Greetings. You're now listening to the most handsome and intellectually superior specimens on Earth. I could be wrong, but I doubt it. Starts now.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever time of day it is where you are. We hope that you're doing well. Pleased to be able to bring you another episode of I Could Be Wrong, But I Doubt It. My name is Fresh, and we're thankful that you decided to join us today. Before we get to this week's episode, I'd like to remind you that if you like what you hear, please, please, please go to Apple Podcasts and rate our podcast and leave us a comment or two. Now, without further delay, let's go ahead and get this thing rolling. I'd like to introduce my partner, who is a connoisseur of all things cultural. He's my partner in podcast crime. Reg, what's happening, man?
Fresh, I hadn't seen you since the last time I saw you, brother. What's good?
Oh, man, you know, we back up in this joint, man. Took a little bit of time off, man, and trying to get back in the swing, man. You know, trying to string these episodes together for the peoples.
A little back and
trying
forth.
Trying to get the people what they want. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
You know how it is, man. So, what are we going to talk about today, man?
Man, I think we're going to talk about NCAA and what's going on in California and other states. That it's some energy, man, with these student athletes, and I think it's time to maybe, you know, sort of talk about it. I think we talked about it before in some aspect, but maybe not as an episode. So we'll address a few things here today on that.
Okay.
Some things that has opened up here in the last few months.
Yeah, man. We're also gonna talk about that the NBA shit, man, too. Now people in China burning LeBron's jersey and shit, man. I know we both got some interesting thoughts on that bullshit. So.
Yeah, yeah.
So, man, let's go ahead and get it rolling, man. NCAA, the state of California, passed a law. It has the most terrible name, what they call the pay-for-play bill or whatever, which isn't really what it is, but in essence, what it will allow is for players to capitalize on their likeness in their quote-unquote, in their images, you know, quote-unquote, their celebrity, to be able to earn money while they're actually in school, provided that the program, I think it's they have to bring in like $10 million. The program,
okay.
The program has to bring in a minimum of $10 million in order for a student athlete to be eligible to get those type of ancillary monies.
Okay.
And it had a lot of motherfuckers up in arms. They wouldn't be up in arms, man, if they were talking about lacrosse.
Of course.
Or if they were talking about, you know, ice hockey or some shit like that. They wouldn't be up in arms, but, you know, basically they're talking about young black men who are coming from a lot of areas that are, you know, impoverished in some cases. Not all cases, but in some cases. And where, you know, basketball is, or football is, part of their future. Or they're putting a very large amount of their life into that particular endeavor in hopes of becoming a professional at that particular sport. So whenever you start giving black folks some money, white folks seem to get mad.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's the NCAA has been running a plantation for years and years and years, even though there's rampant cheating going on. I could speak personally to it, because I do know some people that have received money to go to certain schools.
Wow.
So student athletes receiving money is not a, you know, it's not a new thing, man. And some of the biggest cheaters are the white schools, man. I mean, you know, white folks, they're gonna cheat at any damn thing. You know what I'm saying? You know how they do. That's the one thing you can guarantee. They gonna cheat, man. So, or try to use, you know, influence, as they say. But there seems to be a big uproar about it, because now black kids mostly are going to be able to capitalize on the fact that they can do a job very well while they're in school. And what's crazy about it is that nobody says anything about the musicians that have these scholarships that can actually go out and earn money playing a bar mitzvah or teaching a class, teaching lessons, trumpet lessons or whatever. They can make extra money. They can play weddings or they could do whatever and still earn extra money while getting a scholarship. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
So, I mean, you know, nobody wants to talk about that. I mean, there's a lot of inequity that has been going on, you know, for years for, you know, for that. So the thing with California, man, I think it's not going into effect until I think maybe 2023, maybe.
Yeah.
But I think Florida has a bill where they're trying to get that done next year.
Okay. And I know New York is somewhere. New York
and North Carolina. North Carolina, the home state, is got one on the table, too.
So that one.
Yeah, and Krzyzewski is actually for it, which is crazy.
Yeah.
You know, just to, but, you know, he paying motherfuckers anyway. That's just me. I just say that because, you know, I'm a Louisville Cardinals fan anyway. So, you know, Money Cash, Hollis University. That's
yeah, yeah, yeah. You an expert in talking about this subject,
we,
sir.
We own it.
We're Cards fan.
Money Cash, Hollis. Money Cash, Hollis. That's what we do. But no, seriously, though, you know, it's one of those things where you start to understand that you can't just be raping these kids, man. I mean, they need to be able to earn money, too. Either they're going to get it or they're going to get it. This is how it is, man. I mean, you know, they've been funneling money through these shoe companies forever, so I don't think it's anybody's, you know, the NCAA even knows that. They just were like, look, man, just don't make us have to investigate you.
I'm just tired of people telling me, man, they're getting an education, you know, they're getting a full ride, you know, and...
Yeah, you will hire them when they graduate.
Right, exactly. It's the post-grad, I mean... I mean, you took the words out of my mouth. And then on top of that, it's a drop in the bucket for these budgets. I mean,
right.
You know, University of Alabama, I believe, has a $100 million budget for the AD department, right? And so that's paying everybody. That's the complete budget. And if you, I did the math for like, For FBS football team, they have 85 scholarship players, maybe a roster of 100 plus, but 85 scholarship players. If you paid 85 players 4 years, let's just say all 85 stayed there and played 4 years and you paid their full ride, it's not even 10%. It's between 10 and 20% rather of the budget. You can still pay...
That would still be $100 million each year.
Right.
Right.
So you can still pay, you know, the offensive, defensive coordinators, the whole staff, and you can pay Saban his $9 million and still have literally 50% of your budget. And, you know, without getting granular with the numbers, but on surface, it doesn't really move the needle. So, I mean, first and foremost... is these schools, these PWIs specifically, can't afford to pay these players outside of those scholarships. Because guess what? Why do you go to school? Why do you go to college? So that you can
get a motherfucking job, make some money.
Right. You can have a life and earn a living off of something. If your skill, if your talent to the world is playing football or basketball, which are the two main revenue generators for these schools, well, then, damn it, technically, I'm an employee.
Right.
You know? So, in the whole...
Just student, not getting a W-2. Just contract
student, right.
Employee.
The student-athlete moniker was really created for the amateurism piece of the NCAA anyway. It sort of pigeonholes them into... You're an athlete, but you're still a student. So we have to create certain rules and laws around. I get that there's some level of, you know, scrutiny that has to take place, but when it all comes down to it, it's modern day slavery, of course.
Of course it is, and the really jacked up thing about this is the NCAA is very overt in wanting to preserve this plantation. You know, I mean, they are real open with the manipulation of the rules as it comes to serving the interests of the plantation.
Definitely.
You know, I mean, so why anybody would get mad about students making a little change, you know, in comparison, you know, nobody's going to be a millionaire off of, you know, off of doing an ad for a car dealership or doing a football camp, you're not going to get $1 million for that shit. You know what I'm saying? I mean, right. I think that people are, especially all these white folks that are so against it, I think they're over dramatizing the impact in regards to what people could actually receive. Because whatever it is going to pale in comparison to what these shoe companies have been funneling to these kids, especially in the basketball, have been funneling to. I mean, there's a reason why when you get to the Final Four, they're the same people there all the time. It's because they can afford to have the talent there. You know, if anybody thinks that they're not getting paid, you're stupid.
Right.
You
right.
Know? I mean, it's crazy. If in college football, if you don't think that people are going to these large schools and are receiving nothing but an education, you're out of your fucking mind.
Right.
Because I'll just take you back to what we talked about before. White people going cheap.
Yeah.
Especially when it's something that competitive. Especially in the SEC.
Right.
Man, come on. Come on. Get for real.
It's,
you know, the conference has been number one for a reason. Even though Clemson has broken through, you know, a couple times. But
funny you say Clemson, man, because, you know, I sort of root for Clemson. You know, sort of home state, whatever. And, you know, I like the team. But, and you know, Dabo Swinney, and that is just a quick tangent. You know, Dabo has stated publicly, and, you know, it's something you can Google, of him actually saying, and I don't know if it's a year ago or 2 years ago. I think it was when Deshaun Watson was playing on that championship run. He said, out his own mouth, "I'll quit before these players get paid." And not quoting per se, I'm ad-libbing, but that's basically essentially what he said. And to me, that's shameful, man. How dare you, who just signed a 10-year, $950 million $95 million contract for 10 years. How dare you make some type of comment like that on your players? About players getting paid. To me, that's just a slap in the face. Here I'm set, you know, the wealth for my family has been established. I now have generational wealth that is established.
But here, I'm perfectly fine with you continuing to struggle.
I'm perfectly fine with that. Mm-hmm. As long as you give me these victories and I got this contract, everything's gravy. And that's, you just got to stand back and just soak that in for a minute.
You know what it is, man. You know what it is. You know what I'm about to say. Run, nigga, run.
Run, nigga, run.
That's what they cool with. I don't like Dabo, and I'm going to tell you why.
Okay.
Dabo's a little bitch. I don't like him.
Okay.
I don't like him. He's an Alabama motherfucker, too.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he, just for that particular sentiment that, you know, what you said, I mean, he's, I don't care how many young black men have gone to the NFL under his tutelage or whatever. When you say some shit like that, you're an undercover white hood.
He gets this,
you know what I'm
this
saying?
Whole,
I mean, he's a little bitch, man. He's a little bitch, and I don't like him.
He gets this good boy thing, and I'm like, if you make a comment like that, I'm done with you.
He's a fucking racist. I'm trying to tell you, man, I don't give a fuck what, as long as, dude, only reason why these little black kids are fucking with him is because they got the opportunity to go to the league.
Got the opportunity, man.
So I can see you like, oh man, this could be my conduit, you know, my liaison, my link to get to the league, you know, the program, da 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 da. Okay, I get that.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, he a bitch.
Now let me ask you about the California rule. Do you think, now of course you know I'm an advocate for HBCUs, in that if you have a talent, if you have a child or you know someone who has the talent and skill to play a particular sport that may be the cream of the crop or not, encourage them to go to at least go to an HBCU. Why? Because those schools need the help the most. So that's my whole thing. They need to shine more than a Duke needs to shine, or Alabama, Clemson, whatever, in either football or basketball. So with California, who does not have an HBCU in its state.
Not one in
state.
Cali?
With that, I would think that that ruling, a law would sort of, you know, pull a lot of interest into the state of California for athletes to come far, you know, far and abroad to, you know, to grace the Sunshine State. So what do you think that is, I guess, indirectly would impact or negatively impact HBCUs?
Well, before I answer that, let me say that I feel that the law in and of itself is probably on a higher plane. I don't know if I'm getting that out correctly, but it's probably on a higher plane impact wise than this whole HBCU thing, because as we discussed on the previous show, it's like, you know, collectivism is a word that Black folks are afraid of. So I don't really think that they could be, they would have to be competing directly first. You understand what I'm saying? The playing field would have to be.
So you think it's apples and oranges?
Yeah, you know, yeah, it's apples and oranges. They'd have to be competing first, and then California would have to be like, okay, well, we're going to do this to one up you. This is a threat to you. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
There's an opportunity to us, it's a threat to you. But they're not in the same matrix. So it's not something that I think is, you know, that's
not going to be too impactful.
I don't think it's going to be too impactful at all.
Okay.
What I will say, though, is this. I think unless some other states come up with similar laws and put them on the books, I think that by the time it comes into effect, the major schools in the Pac-10, when it comes to basketball and football, man, they're going to start making a whole lot more noise. Okay. They're going to start making a whole lot more noise, because then you're going to start getting people to be like, man, you know what? I may not go to the league, but I can go make $200,000-$300,000 while I'm in school and get an education at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? You know, I always thought, and this is, you know, real quick tangent. I always thought that the thing that I can't think of the young dude's name. I've always thought that what he did and what Brandon Jennings did and a couple other people did. I think Emmanuel Mudiay did it too. I think that was the guy that did it. Two of those guys went overseas first.
Okay.
Didn't even go to college, got paid. You know what I'm saying? I always thought that that would be the biggest threat to amateurism. And I also thought that there was this one cat that got drafted after he worked for New Balance for a year. Didn't go to school, but got like a quote unquote internship. And I think he made like a mil. I think it was something stupid, you know, where he actually had an internship, but he actually did work. He was designing shoes. He was doing other stuff. But, you know, his salary was a little inflated. I always thought that those types of things would be the threat to the NCAA. I never thought, I mean, I really never, ever, ever thought legislatively that any state would ever come between the NCAA and the plantation being run that way. I just didn't see that coming. I thought that those two things would be the bigger issues. Now, as far as the HBCU thing goes, man, I still feel like I felt when we did the show. I think that was, episode 3? Talking about HBCUs, man. It's like, if you are good, you're going to be good whether or not you go to Clemson or you go to South Carolina State. I'm going to be good whether or not you go to Alabama or you go to Alabama A&M. Again, you got to think about collectivism, though, man. People are not going to, at least they haven't shown, that there could be a Fab Five that goes to that goes to Howard instead of going to Michigan. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
We haven't shown that there is going to be, you know, a Fab Five, you know, going to, going to Morehouse instead of going to.
Man, you ain't said FAMU yet, but
you know, I'm just saying. I mean, but you know what I'm saying, man. I mean,
I know.
You know, there hasn't been a group of recruits, 5-star recruits, that said, okay, yeah, we're going to go, you know, to FAMU instead of going to the University of Miami.
All it takes is one. And I always said, what if Zion went, Zion Williamson, what if he just chose an HBCU.
If
all
he just
takes,
stayed home
he's
with
the
South
greatest.
Carolina State,
he's
South
one
Carolina?
Of the greatest players in a while.
Yeah.
And he could have. I mean, you know,
too fat though. But mark my word, he gonna get hurt. He need to get the weight up off of him.
He will, but he's still he's gonna be a force to reckon with for sure.
We'll see. But anyway, like I said, I mean, I would think that once that happens, then we can really have an honest conversation about it. Because I know that it was one guy, I think it was a defensive end, he was considering an HBCU and everybody was up in arms. You know, like, oh, wow, he might be coming. Now, if he had actually committed, that would be something crazy. So it can happen. But again, we got a problem with the bigger picture. We do it for the selfie and we don't do it for the bigger picture.
Yeah. And we have some players that do. It's some kid at Southern that LSU wanted him, Texas A&M. And I mean, you have some that trickle that their names probably aren't in lights. Mm-hmm. Like as we know it, they don't get to shine. So I tip my hat. I see them on Twitter a lot and I tip my hat to them. But I think, like you say, collectively, to where you're really moving the needle, what I call it, the paradigm shift of it all, is where you're really going to say, okay, I'm really assuming power here. We about to change some shit up.
Right. And that's just the thing, man. We have the power. And we said this before on other show, man. We the plug. We've been the plug. We are literally the product. And so it's like when you don't understand that just goes to.
Yeah,
man, I ain't even gonna go on that tangent, but you know what I'm saying.
It's not really a tangent. It's really what it is. It's on topic. It's on topic, it's man. You're right.
So let's move on from the young black man. Get your motherfucking money. Go out to Cali, man. In the next few years, go ahead and get your money. As these laws pass across the country, man, stay at your home state then, man. Go to the biggest school you can get to and get that motherfucking money. I mean, I ain't mad at you. Do what you gotta do. But if you're that damn good, you're gonna be good regardless. But sometimes circumstances dictate your decisions. So, and I'm perfectly understanding of that. So,
yeah,
you know, everybody got to live their own life. But anyway,
Ty,
let's move on from that, man. Just want to let everybody know that in addition to Apple Podcasts, the podcast is now available on Google Podcasts, Spotify, SoundCloud, Stitcher, and CastBox, with more outlets to come in the future. You can also connect with us on our social media platforms on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. At ICBW Podcast. That's at ICBW Podcast. Be sure to like, comment, follow, subscribe, and all that. You can also check us out on our website at ICBWpodcast.com. Be on the lookout for more merchandise coming into the store, man. I know y'all want one of those shirts when they hot. They got the pictures on it. It's hot as hell, man. We already sold a few of them, man. You need to get yours before they're gone. We appreciate your support in advance. If you have any comments about the show, you can text us at 704-946-6060 or leave a voicemail there. We interact with everybody. So we appreciate y'all, man.
Be good, be safe, and behave, brother.
We out.
I could be wrong, but I doubt it. So don't enter this debate if you ain't about it. Reflection and introspect. Make sure that you come correct, and you should probably hurry. It gets crowded. Bring a friend with you. I could be wrong, but I doubt it. Don't enter this debate if you ain't bout it. Reflection and introspect. Make sure that you come correct, and you should hurry up. It might get crowded. Bring a friend with you. Expression Reds, their curators are cool. The culture and consciousness brought directly to you. Tune in every week for the newest of new and occasional politics as it pertains to you. Divergent point of views make for a whole picture, and we suggest you get your money up and take the shit with you. Ain't no fountain to you, but it's a secret elixir to ensure the black man as a permanent fixture. Standing here in America behind enemy lines, where more often than not my skin's considered a crime. Cops kill us daily and will never do time, while a crooked ass judge decides the fate for mine. One day at a time is what my mama would say, and since mama said living ain't no time to play, and since I got a little game, I'ma give it away. But let's start the show before I get carried away. I could be wrong, but I doubt it. So don't enter this debate if you ain't bout it. Reflection and introspect. Make sure that you come correct, then you should probably hurry. It gets crowded. Bring a friend with you. I could be wrong, but I doubt it. Don't enter this debate if you ain't bout it. Reflection and introspect. Make sure that you come correct, then you should hurry up. It might get crowded. Bring a friend with you.
You just tuned in to I Could Be Wrong, But I Doubt It, hosted by Fresh and Reg. Holla back next week.